magical place we could go. So close your eyes and make a wish for the skies with the angriest, flappiest birds, and the seas with ridiculous fish. The Dutch Arcade Show is here again. It's Friday night and I'm with my friends Eli, Jerry, and Mike most of the time. Come on, let's go to the Dutch Arcade Show.
Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to Touch Arcade Show. This is episode 381, recording on Thursday, December 20th at about 3 in the afternoon. Recording a little earlier today because I've got a bunch of people staying with me this weekend, and getting a house full of people to stay quiet for an hour so I can record a podcast is not reasonable to expect. This episode of the Touch, it's holiday episode of the Touch Arcade Show, is sponsored by Simile Paint Like a Master. It's available on the App Store. You can also check out the game's website at savethemachine.com, and we'll have more on that the mid podcast break. So stick with us. This is the first time you've listened to the Touch Arcade Show. We are a weekly mobile games podcast. That is a byproduct of TouchArcade.com, which is a website with all sorts of iPhone and Android game news, reviews, and all sorts of other fun stuff like that. What else? We got basically everything.com/TouchArcade, including a pretty cool Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade. I got forums, Twitter, Facebook, all that jazz, so give all that a look. Just a caveat in this episode, I'm trying a little something different with my dogs to see if they will bark less if they're down here. So I hope I don't have any dog-related issues, but if you hear random barking, that's me regretting choices I've made in my life.
Yeah.
With that, this is going to be the last podcast before the old iTunes freeze, Christmas, all that fun stuff. Because when does New Year's? New Year's is next Monday, so we can't yet say this is the last podcast of the year.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
Those jokes are still funny.
Here's a fun fact about me.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten a Christmas tree yet.
Really? I finally, you know what, dude, I'll be the first person to say Christmas trees are dumb, and if you don't have kids, you don't need them.
Yeah. I think we would probably take that. It's just come down to the fact that like our schedules have been too crazy for us to go even to the grocery store parking lot and buy one real quick. But it's now we probably would just say screw it this year, but we're hosting Christmas for like a lot of family, and so I feel like if we have Christmas here with no tree, that's not going to be good. So I've got to figure out somehow how to go get one.
This year we invested, and it seems weird to say it's an investment, but we bought a pretty nice fake Christmas tree from Costco.
Yeah.
Like right at the very start of December, they're like, I don't know, whatever the like the normal size fake Christmas tree is, like 6.5 foot or 7 foot, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever the, you know, not absurdly huge one, but not tiny one is, was on pretty good sale. And I was like, let's just fucking buy one of these, man. Like, every year we spend, you know, like 40, 50 bucks on the real tree. And then it's like nothing but a massive hassle as you deal with like just the needles coming off constantly. And then for whatever reason, my city is like really crazy about like they will only pick up Christmas trees like during the Christmas tree pickup time.
Yeah.
Which is like the week after New Year's.
I think it's the same year,
so
too.
So for us, it would be like the week of January 7th, most likely.
Yeah.
At which point, it's like, dude, if you get your Christmas tree in like early December, that's like a five-month-old tree at that point that like, more than anything else, like you touch it and all the needles come off, and it's like so dry, it's basically a fire hazard. So
yeah,
I don't know. That's always a hassle. So we spent like $200 on a fake tree. So hopefully that lasts us 4 years to make it all worthwhile.
Yeah, my sister would not let that fly when we were kids. It had to be real. It had to be cut down by our hands, not hers, but somebody in our family had to cut it down for her.
Like the Griswold, family Christmas.
Exactly. It had to be real, no fake trees, and so it was. I'm all on board with that idea. Though.
Yeah, dude. Like, I can't even. Like, it took me more time to figure out how to like open the box to make sure I can like reuse the box than I did to set up the Christmas tree. It's like you put the base up, plug the first section in, next section in, top section, plug it in, all lit up, everything, you're done.
Yeah,
I was like, God, this is like a weekend long thing to like figure out. Like, all right, what's the best side of the Christmas tree? How are we gonna put lights in it and all this other stuff? So, I don't know, man. I'm a proponent of the fake tree.
Yeah, well, I gotta get something.
You could just
maybe a butcher paper or silhouette of a tree cutout.
Dude, I'm
like
sure
you were doing like school.
I'm sure at this point, if you went to Home Depot or something like that, like you could probably get. Like a pretty nice fake Christmas tree for like nothing.
Probably.
Because like anyone that was going to buy one has already bought one.
Yeah.
kind of like when you buy like a lot of my Halloween decorations, we have a lot of like the blow up things. Mm-hmm. I bought almost all of those like 2 days before Halloween or like a week after Halloween. And they're like practically free compared to how much they normally cost. So
yeah,
I don't know. Little holiday cheer. You doing anything? Is that everyone's coming over at your house on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve?
I think Christmas Day. Hmm. I think. I don't know. I don't keep track of stuff.
That seems like another important detail to know if you're hosting Christmas. I mean, I'm no expert, but
I let Pam handle the details.
Yeah, that's.
I'll cook the ham.
That's probably smart. I'm gonna try to make tamales. I think this weekend.
Yeah,
as discussed previously,
it's a good idea.
So anyway, this is a podcast about mobile games, as I may have mentioned before. Mobile games and Christmas trees, which I don't know, it's topical. So we got a bunch of news this week, but since we're recording midday Thursday, kind of missing out on potentially some of the other stories throughout the week, but that's okay, we'll play catch up next time. Actually, next week will probably be pretty dead, so it'll be good to have stories to catch up on. So the Battle of Palutopia, which is a game that just like isn't stopping. Like I feel like this came out in like 2012-ish, maybe.
It was a while ago. It came out under a different name.
And it was like one of those total sleeper hits.
Yeah.
In that like I think it came out and was like very basic and then got updated to be like way more awesome, but like it's usually hard to keep track of like rando indie game updates. So this like didn't pop up on my radar until someone was like, dude, you playing this amazing game? Like it's just like Populous sort of, but like on the touchscreen, and you know, it's got some like elements of like 4X gameplay. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I looked it up, I think, and that I was like, this has been out like 2 years.
When it first came out, it was just novel because it was so made for touchscreen. It was like a super mobile friendly sort of 4X strategy game or whatever. And then they were really good about like releasing different like factions in the game and stuff. But everyone always wanted like multiplayer. And then I want to say it was this past year that they released the multiplayer update. And that caused it to just super explode. Like we have a post that whenever we posted the multiplayer update came out, however long ago that was, accidentally became like a friend code sharing thread in the comments that still gets like constant new comments with people sharing their code in it nowadays. I guess that we made a specific share your code thing
early February 15th, 2018.
The community for that game is just incredible.
The updates, what does it add? It's getting a new tribe, some additional multiplayer features to kind of just, you know, improve quality of life for multiplayer players, and all that fun stuff is coming on Christmas. They have it scheduled for release on the 25th, which...
How's like that going to work?
Interesting. Well, if you schedule stuff beforehand, it'll release. Mm-hmm. You just, like, can't change it, I think, or, like, if you have any problems, your SOL or...
I don't know anymore.
I don't know. So, but Battle Polytopia is a really cool game. It's free to check out. Highly recommended. That's spelled Polytopia, if I'm pronouncing it weird. So give that a look. It's only getting better. And check out the multiplayer thread in our forum. There's like a bazillion people that have shared their multiplayer codes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the Hype engine is operating on, I don't know if I would say all cylinders, but they're definitely spooling it up for Harry Potter Wizards Unite, which is supposed to be coming out early next year, right? Or soonish, it seems like.
I don't know. I think they just said, I think it was supposed to come out 2018, and I don't think that's going to happen now because we're so close to the end. So I'm not really sure, but it also could just like surprise launch tomorrow or something. I wouldn't like surprise me if that happened.
Well, so this specifically, the video they released is a broom, a Nimbus 2000 from the Harry Potter movies. It's like out of control in Australia. So when I saw this, I kind of like thought about it for a while, and maybe this is like them teasing, like, "Hey, the soft launch in Australia is coming real soon,"
Oh, we should,
or something like that.
No, that's actually good thinking, something along those lines. Because I thought it was kind of odd that they specifically were like Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. But if it's a soft launch thing, that makes a lot of sense, right? Like,
seems like something they're going to have to soft launch.
So I don't know. The premise of this game is the first time you've heard of it. It seems like it's Pokemon Go, but with Harry Potter. I'm really curious how the actual gameplay is gonna pan out, because it seems like instead of wandering around and finding Pokemon, you're wandering around to find like magical anomalies or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I think this video is sort of an example of what they're meaning by that sort of thing. Like, oh, down by along the freeway are these out of control, Nimbus 2000 things
Yeah, so just
flying around by themselves. So you gotta
go
run
wander
down
down the
there and
freeway.
use your wand to fix. Yeah, go wander into traffic and stare at your phone. But I mean, something along those lines, like some sort of magical calamity is what they call it. Yeah, so some sort of mischief will take place and you'll have to go take care of it somehow. Instead of like capture a monster, it's going to be like stop these brooms from flying.
Yeah, I'm really curious how this game is gonna do, because I feel like much like Harry Potter or much like Pokemon, it's gonna have one of those launches where it's like, I don't know if like everyone's gonna be playing it, but it's definitely gonna have like a massively blown out launch, right? But
Probably.
what I'm curious of is like, Pokemon Go definitely broke like the mainstream crust in a big way, right? So I'm curious, knowing that a lot of people have probably played Pokemon Go, those people are probably going to check this out, and are they going to say like, oh, this is like so similar, this is dumb?
See, that's what I'm thinking is it's not going to be that similar to Pokemon Go. I think it's like general idea is going to be the same, that it's this augmented reality game that you walk around in real world and do stuff. But I don't think it'll just be like a reskin of Pokemon Go, which is what a lot of people kind of thought it might be in the beginning. So I think they're going to try their darndest to make it seem different enough so that it's not just Pokemon Go for Harry Potter people.
Yeah, but I guess I more mean like, they can only do so much with the gameplay loop of like wander around to specific points and do thing, right? Like that's what I mean. Like, I'm sure they're gonna make it look really cool. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if the game actually looks like the Marauders map, like the actual like game world and stuff like that. And I'm sure it'll be themed just like outstanding, but I don't know how they can. I mean, because like if you look at how Ingress plays versus Pokemon Go, it's the same. It's like go to place where thing is happening, press buttons to do thing, progress to next place you do more things at. So I don't know. I'm super curious. I don't mean to sound pessimistic on it or whatever. I feel like that's. It wouldn't surprise me if that's why this game has taken so long to come out, is because in user testing, people are probably just like, this is Pokemon Go, but it says Harry Potter on the
Maybe.
box, so.
The more I think about it, I do think that there probably will be some sort of soft launch. And if they did in Australia, it's summer there now. And I was thinking how weird it would be if it launched in the winter here, because people aren't going to want to go out in like the crappy weather to be playing this sort of thing. And it would make more sense if they launched it in like the spring or summer. So maybe they're gonna soft launch in Australia summer, and then
There you
when our
go.
summer comes around, they'll launch it worldwide or whatever.
That's a strong theory. I like that.
Strong, yes.
So I mean, that's about all we know right now, so give that a look. Spell Tower, which is one of my all-time favorite games on iOS, and I think you could make a strong argument, and I mentioned this in the article, that like if you ever see a list of the best word games on the App Store and Spell Tower isn't in it, like the list becomes fairly questionable at
That
that.
list is shit.
Because I don't know, it's just, you know, it's not like the game does a whole lot that's like super different, but it's just like a lot of Zach Gage's games in that, like, it's a simple concept that's just like executed basically flawlessly. So the previous update to Spell Tower added that Zen mode to it, which is basically like Spell Tower, but with like, it's like almost impossible to lose, more or less, and you know, all the restrictions are taken away and stuff like that. And so this update kind of goes the opposite way in that it's adding like a bunch of challenge to the game, in that kind of similar to what was the, it's not Flip Flop Solitaire, the
Sage Solitaire.
Sage Solitaire, that got update that we talked about either last week or the week before, that adds those
the instant tournament thing.
No, the numbered decks.
Oh, that, yeah.
Like, so everyone plays the same
exact
deck.
That was
Flip Flop
Solitaire.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Spell Tower is going to do a similar thing in that the tower mode, which is kind of like the core mode of the game that's fairly challenging, is going to have daily modes where everyone gets like the same set of letters or RNG seed or however it's going to work, which will allow you to have like very distinct score competitions, which I think is really pretty interesting, because like really when you think about it, like, gives you the opportunity to like replay the same game and stuff like that, which I can't really think of too much in one of these like random word search games being a thing, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That is actually kind of how those instant tournaments work, though. It's like everybody playing the same thing, and then you can see how you stack up against everyone else. And I like
but
that
saying,
a lot.
Can you think of that happening in a word game, though?
I don't know. I don't play words with friends or anything anymore. I mean, maybe they have like a daily puzzle that everyone plays or something, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I just thought it was pretty interesting, like, because you could probably really, really go crazy on one of these, like, really overanalyzing each day's game to find like the absolute best possible words on that day's game.
You could say that our last week's game, Crossgrams, has a daily thing that's like that. Everyone plays the same thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I feel like this is probably, like you're saying, you can just go crazy trying to find the absolute perfect set of words or whatever. Whereas Crosscamp is more of like a race against the time against other people.
Yeah, like that's what seems different to me about it, is that like Crosscamp is a game that you solve, right? Like it's a solvable puzzle, whereas like a pseudo, well, I guess the daily thing is like, you know, not random, but like a random word search game is not really something that you can solve.
Yeah.
In the same sense, right? So it'll be really interesting to see how this kind of all plays out. So,
well, whatever the case, I'm psyched that Zach Gage has just been like updating all of his games recently with just like new stuff for pretty much no reason and with like zero fanfare, really. It's just kind of like, hey, here's a brand new update for one of my awesome games.
This game came out in 2011, and when it came out, it was an iPad game. Like, it wasn't even universal yet. So, the other cool thing with this is that like this game seems to have like a broad demographic appeal of the likes that's like, you know, kind of rare to see on the App Store, it seems like, especially for a game by an indie dev. So he's even like adding accessibility stuff in there based on requests from players. So specifically this update, the way the controls work by default is like you drag your finger along to make like a match of letters, and you double tap to kind of like clear those off. Mm-hmm. And so I guess like people with Parkinson's emailed and are like, hey, can you like, you know, do something else? Because, you know, if you're shaky with Parkinson's, you're going to be accidentally just submitting stuff. So I don't know, just kind of like an interesting thing to like, you know, data bank in the brain, I guess. Like, you know, if you know someone that has like a disability of some kind that's, you know, difficult for them to play these games, like this just got easier. So I think that's pretty neat. I don't know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So Spell Tower, $3. If you are even vaguely interested in word games, highly, highly, highly recommended. So big sale on Civilization VI, which came out almost exactly a year ago now. I think it came out on the 20th, 21st or something like that last year. Really, really, really good game. It's probably, I wish that the that iOS 10 had the screen time stuff to see your total like played on different apps, because like it wouldn't surprise me if Civ 6 on my iPad was like the number one thing I actually use it for, beyond like watching movies or whatever. It's really, really, really good game. It's also universal. I don't think it's as good on the iPhone as it is on the iPad, but I have friends that exclusively play on their phone, so you know, it's completely workable. So the way the game works, which, you know, this might be old news to you, but you download it for free and you can play the tutorial, I think up to the first 100 turns, which like you're going to know that you like the game inside of 100 turns. Like if you make it all the way to the end of 100 turns in the tutorial and you're like, I don't know about this one. Like, I don't think that's possible. Like you'll either love it or hate it by then. So
yeah,
the way it worked before was that $60 would get you the unlock to get the full game. That's on sale for 15 through, I think, the first of the year.
That's wild.
So super crazy good deal, particularly considering the original price of $60. But it gets better because every 2 days, they're having a different in-app purchase DLC pack downloadable for free as well. So you should hurry up on the first one. So the 20th to the 22nd is the Poland scenario pack. 22nd and 24th is the Viking scenario pack. 24th to 26th is the Australia civilization and scenario pack. Then the next day, just follow every 2 days with Persia, Nubia, and the Indonesia one, which is the 30th through the first of the year. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, like if you load, like, so if you, you know, you were on the fence before, but you're like, you know what, $15, I'm in. And then you load the game up every 2 days, you effectively save $80.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nuts. And
yeah,
like the amount of content these additional civilization adds, like packs add, is not like crazy. So they were always like hard for me to recommend to people, because I don't know, I feel like you could play Civilization for a year and never really be like, oh, I don't think I've seen everything that there is in this game, you know? So to be like, all right, let me, you know, buy all these DLC packs.
Right.
I don't know. It seems very, very, very unnecessary, unless you're just like one of those people that just has to have everything, or I don't know. Maybe you think that Vikings are just super cool and you want to play as Vikings. Right. Like that's another cool thing to do, I guess. But, so they were always kind of a hard sell for me, but like logging in every 2 days and getting them for free,
at least purchase it to your account, and you know it'll be there to download in the future.
Yeah, when you do care about it, just set an alarm for every 2 days, and you know, grab them.
This is definitely one of the craziest deals I've seen in a while.
Yeah, for a bona fide, like very good real game too. So
yeah,
definitely do that. So the new Hearthstone expansion, Rastakhan's Rumble, came out. It's already getting a pretty big balance update, because, you know, like, I don't know. It's always interesting to me how you balance a card game like this, right? Like, and this, I've kind of asked the Hearthstone team a number of times, like, you know, how their methodology with this, and I never really have a good answer, because, like, when you think about it, you know, I think Hearthstone's development team, unless it's grown a lot, is, you know, like maybe a couple dozen people, if that, you know. So when you consider the balance potential of a couple dozen people, like, you know, how much can they really research and do and stuff like that when it comes to like card interactions and, you know, what kind of stuff is going to be really broken when this comes out, versus like when you release it to the wild and then like all of a sudden millions of people are coming up with like crazy shit you never thought of, right?
Right.
And that certainly seems to be the case with this expansion. So Blizzard has been pretty quick to nerf a few cards to bring things back into order. I don't know. Balancing a game like this just like breaks my brain. Like I would never want to be responsible for doing that in a million years.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So you posted about this Game of Gods coming for Forsaken Media. What's this all about?
It's kind of hard to tell. They're putting together a trailer, which I think will answer some more questions. And there's a brief clip on their Twitter. But more or less, you're kind of playing as these gods. And, you know, this weird event is happening that's threatening Earth. And so both good gods and bad gods have to work together to fight off this threat. And so you can kind of choose your side if you want to be a good god or a bad god. And you work alongside with the humans when you're a good god. And when you're a bad god, you just don't really care about the humans at all. And it sort of just works as like, it sort of seems like, I don't know, maybe something like from an MMO or whatever, because you have all these spells and you can unlock just crazy amounts of spells, and you just drag them into the play field and kind of unleash them when you're fighting off these, I don't know, armies or whatever. So I don't know, it looks really cool. Like, it has a really neat art style and stuff, and it seems like it'll be like a neat idea for a mobile game. But right now we just don't know a whole bunch about it. But I think they're going to probably be doing a beta pretty soon, and they already have a release date for March, so they have it in mind when they want to actually release it. But until then, I'm sure there will be more info, beta testing, all that good stuff in the next couple months.
Yeah, so this looks pretty cool. But you know, Forsaken seems like they can't really release a bad game. So
yeah, it seems like they're always up to something. And then this last year has been kind of slow with them, as I think they've been sort of getting things ready for some new games.
Yeah. Yeah, the cool studio, cool story behind him, and everything else. It kind of like the Butterscotch Shenanigans before Butterscotch Shenanigans in a way, how they're all like four dudes and stuff.
Yeah.
So bummer story of the week, I think, is that award goes to Questlord 2 getting pushed back after the holidays. I guess discovered like a real major game breaking bug like just before the release. And you know, dude basically tweeted a bunch of stuff about how, you know, just really wanted to make sure everything was right before he released it, particularly when you ask for $7. And
it's the smart move. It's the right move.
Yeah. I think this is the right move, because the amount of people that would be super pissed that the game was messed up is just like not worth dealing with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Bummer, but
I was pretty psyched to play that this week, but yeah. I will wait for it to be fixed.
So early January, they're thinking, so. We shall see.
You don't spend 5 years working on something just to like release it broken, because why not?
Right. No, exactly. So the Fortnite patch we mentioned last week is now available. If you got a new iPad Pro, the 60 frames per second gameplay stuff is now live, as well as new creative mode junk, and the 14 days of Fortnite is a thing. Which I don't know a whole lot about, because I'm too stupid to play this game, I guess.
And I wish I was cool enough to play Fortnite.
Like I said, I just need a child to come to my house and like tutor me. Yeah. I would probably even pay a small amount of money for that. That's probably out of context. It's terrible.
Yeah, put a Craigslist ad up.
Yeah, Craigslist ad. Looking to pay child to come to my basement. Everything's above board. We're just going to play Fortnite for real.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I always like seeing when stuff like actually takes advantage of the new Apple hardware. So yeah. I would, if you've got a new iPad Pro and you want to play a game that like, this is probably going to be like the game to play if you want something that's going to like tax your iPad. So
my prediction for Fortnite, because I've noticed this recently, is that it seems like a lot of adults are getting into it, and that's kind of signaling the death of Fortnite to me.
Think so? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's anytime adults find out the cool thing that the kids are doing and start doing it themselves, the kids all jump ship and find something else.
I don't know. Maybe when you see adults doing the backpack kid dance.
Yeah.
Speaking of speaking of like Fortnite drama, it's kind of interesting how so Millibop or Miley Bop or I don't know any of these SoundCloud rapper people. Like I don't know how you pronounce their names or anything, but like, I guess this musician had a signature dance from his video or whatever that they added to the game. Yeah. He was the first person to sue him for that. And like afterwards, it's like the floodgates have just been opened with all sorts of people suing Epic, including the guy who plays Carlton from The Fresh Prince is suing him, Backpack Kid suing him. And I'm sure that like everyone else has a signature dance in the game.
I don't know. I hate dumb, frivolous lawsuit sort of things like this, but I actually think there's probably something here besides just like chasing after Epic's money. But I think that is kind of jacked up that, I mean, you think of that Carlton dance and that's exactly who you think of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And so for a company to like take that and put it in their game and then be able to make money off of that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, not only take it, but like sell it. Like sell it as a specific item people are buying with real money.
Yeah, that seems wrong to me, because if it was like a song or something, then that wouldn't be okay at all. But because it's a dance, it's free reign on who gets to just take it and do whatever they want with it. So
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird. And then with the backpack kid, it's weird because he's actually been psyched to see his dance in Fortnite and has done some official events with them and stuff. And now to turn around and be like, I'm suing you.
I'm sure. I'm absolutely sure the way that panned out was like, some lawyer saw, the first two ones, and then, like, everyone that has a dance center just getting bombarded, being like, hey, 80-20 split on this? Like, no cost to you. Let's give it a go.
Well, I do think there needs to be some sort of precedent set for this sort of thing, because, I don't know, I'd be pissed if I invented a dance, became some iconic thing, and got nothing out of it.
Well, I've always thought it's really weird that, particularly games like this that have these dances that they're selling, like, I think that they would sell more of them if it was like, if they made it a thing where I was like, dude, we got Backpack Kid in the studio. This is his motion capture.
Oh, for
sure. Like, this is the official dance.
Backpack Kid's skin.
Like, yeah. Why, it's especially with like the money that Fortnite's making, like, it just seems weird to have all these dances that are like these clever, like, winks, because they're all name stuff that's like Backpack Kid, but not wink, wink. You know,
I think it maybe will eventually turn into something like that. But I also think that I don't think Epic really intended for this sort of thing to happen either. I think they're just like, wouldn't it be cool to put some dances in? And when you try to think of dances, you think of like a handful of things. And, you know, the Carlton's like one of those that's like the Running Man or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't think they intended to be like, hell yeah, we're going to rip this stuff off and sell it.
Well, what I've seen as like the rebuttal for this from people online is like, these dances have been in video games forever. There's like some YouTube clip that's going around where, you know, like these dances are in like World of Warcraft and, you know, like all these other things. And like, my argument for that is like, all right, yeah, that's fair that like, you know, every race in World of Warcraft has a very pop culture-y dance, but it's not like, you're buying World of Warcraft specifically for that dance, and you're also not paying money to specifically buy that dance, whereas like in Fortnite you are.
That's kind of thing. Yeah, it's not some idle animation that just is in there for fun. It's like a thing that's kind of sold as a status symbol.
Yeah.
And there's something that seems wrong about that.
Yeah. I think that like, you know, if like, so say right now, I don't, you know, say dances are $5. I think they're, I don't know how much they are, and because the currency purposely abstracts the value, but like say they're $5, like I think that people would pay 10 for them if it was like, you know, here's the newest dance. Like, here's the YouTube video, the making of it. Like, here's Carlton in the mocap suit. We're having fun. And then, like, he plays some Fortnite for a little bit. And, like, look how silly this all is.
Oh, dude, they could totally go crazy with that sort of stuff. And it would be awesome.
And I'm sure they and, like, even if they split 50-50, they're probably going to make more money doing that. So this just seems like, I don't know, a weird thing that is kind of silly and inevitable.
I predict this all being settled out of court with something like that going on.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got a couple more news stories, but let's take a quick break to get a word in from our sponsor. So again, this week is sponsored by Simile Paint Like a Master, which you can find at savethemachine.com. So here's their ad copy here. So strap in for this. Think you don't have artistic talent? Think you can only draw stick figures? Think again. Simile Paint Like a Master is a game that will help you create amazing portraits, landscapes, and still lifes with just your fingertips. It uses a simple technique pioneered in ancient Egypt and mastered by Da Vinci, Van Gogh, and Escher. What's more, Simile is multiplayer compatible, so you can spend quality time with your family this Christmas working together on a masterpiece. Simile Paint Like a Master is free to download from the iOS App Store and works on all iPhones and iPads with iOS 11 or higher. Visit savethemachine.com for more information. So this actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched the video, and it seemed like a neat thing I wanted to play around with.
Yeah. I think the major, my biz dev tip there is figure out a way to partner with whoever holds the Bob Ross brand name now. Make this like the official Bob Ross multiplayer Twitch
Dude.
collaborative painting app. There's your million
There you
dollar
go.
idea right there.
Yeah.
So a couple more news stories real quick before we hop into some games. So PUBG Mobile now has the snow map available, Vikendi, if that does anything for you. I'm kind of excited to play the PC version of that because I don't know, I got sort of bored of the desert map. But a bunch of other stuff. I don't know. I kind of burnt out real hard on PUBG Mobile, so I'm not the best person to talk about that. Pokemon Go's holiday junk is alive and well. Ice type Pokemon are appearing more frequently. And there's some other goodies with various kind of like special ice Pokemon with a higher chance of hatching out of Pokemon eggs and all sorts of other fun Pokemon stuff that if you play Pokemon Go, you probably are already more than aware of. And if you don't play Pokemon Go, I kind of doubt this is going to make you reinstall it. So it's a cynical take on the Pokemon Go news this week. So this is pretty cool. Bendy and the Ink Machine is actually already out by the time you listen to this.
No.
Well,
Oh, yeah,
by the time you
probably,
listen on
yeah.
Friday, it's probably already out. So Bendy and the Ink Machine, I guess the best way to describe it is like, Five Nights at Freddy's was the world's biggest thing ever, and then Scott Cawthon went crazy, and then there were all these other people that were like, hey, I can make a spooky game like this that does
Yeah.
really well in YouTube reaction videos and is highly streamable.
Yeah.
And Bendy and the Ink Machine falls right in with that. So, what's weird is that it's only gonna be $7 on the App Store, and like it's $30 on Switch, and I think also $30 on Steam.
Wow.
So pretty good deal.
I think this is cool. I've been interested in playing this because it's the quote-unquote real game, but when they released that like Bendy Runner a few months back, which is a game I actually think is really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people were just like, just release the regular game. Like, what are you doing? And so I think it's cool they did end up doing that because it didn't really seem like there was any reason why this couldn't work on touchscreen.
Yeah. So back when Bendy and the Ink Machine was a thing, and I think we've already told the story of meeting that guy at GDC who was
Yeah.
like, he's like, dude, I'm whatever my name is, and we're like, cool. No, it doesn't mean anything to us. I made Bendy. All right, yeah.
And
Cool.
then we discover the vast
Yeah,
world
and
of
they were like,
Bendy
oh, they
fandom.
sell your shit at Hot Topic. That's neat.
Yeah. Super cool guy.
Yeah, ultra cool dude. I don't know. It was just really funny that we were just like complete demographic mismatch for that sort of
Yeah.
stuff. But I tried to look up some videos on YouTube of people playing this, and like, man, I feel like if I had kids that were into reaction videos, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
I would just probably need to buy them headphones and.
Yeah.
Because like I was just trying to find like a good like clean like playthrough to kind of skip through to like look at what this game involves, but it's like the people that play these games like look at everything in the wall and are like, oh my God, is this blood on the wall? It's so messy. Like I can't even like pretend to do it.
It's super obnoxious. I can't even stomach it.
Yeah, it's like I don't know who plays like the reaction video play style is just like so unrealistic. Like I don't know anyone like when you play like for instance like the modern Doom remake, like all the like gory stuff is just kind of like set pieces to set the mood. Like when I'm playing those games, I'm never like, oh my God, you guys, I can't believe this disemboweled body over here. Like look at this is so crazy. Wow, I wonder where the rest of them is. Holy cow. And then like 5 minutes of jokes, and then we move on to the next room. Where the exact same thing is happening, and I don't know. If that's what you're into, God bless you, but
We live in a terrible timeline.
this is not for me. So I threw this story in here just for funsies to talk about, just so people can be up to date on the drama in the larger Apple ecosystem.
Yeah.
So ever since, what was it, the iPhone
Six?
6 Plus, 7
Think so,
Plus
yeah.
or
Six
whatever?
is, yeah.
With the start of duh, 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 bend gates,
Yes.
like testing, being hypersensitive to Apple things bending has
Yeah.
been super in fashion. But this does kind of seem like bullshit. Like I guess people are getting iPad Pros that like out of the box are curled like a potato chip.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to Mac Rumors, you can see the picture I'm talking about, and it's like shockingly noticeable.
Yeah.
It's not like one of those things where it's like, all right, well, like, if I really, really like set it on a flat surface, like, it just kind of sort of like rocks a little bit, and like, you know, you kind of really got to look at to see. It's like, no, like, the photos people are posting is these have a noticeable curve to them. Yeah. And like, don't sit flat and all this other crap, which, according to Apple, it's a side effect of the manufacturing process, not expected to worsen over time, and it will not negatively affect the iPad's performance in any practical way. So yeah. I guess if spending, you know, close to $2,000 on a new iPad and having it come out of the box kind of bent is, you know, just, you know, no big deal.
This would be, I am down to defend Apple in a lot of these circumstances because I think so much shit is overblown or whatever, but I feel like this is just takes the cake in terms of like Apple being so completely just stupid. Like, dude, if your thing is bent, it shouldn't be bent. Dude, I don't care if it's a manufacturing defect. Learn how to make it not bent.
Yeah,
well, I want to buy a tablet that's not bent.
I mean,
and to just say it's like not a defect, I guess they're exchanging them is what some people are saying, but it's still like no guarantee that the brand new one you get exchanged for is not going to be bent too if they're coming out of the assembly line like this.
I mean,
it seems sort of silly too that you think back to their Bendgate, the original one, and you know, when the iPhone 7 came out, it was like they reinforced the chassis during where the volume buttons were because that was kind of the weak point where everything was bending or whatever. Well, an iPad is a lot longer of a distance of a chassis than an iPhone is, and so it stands to reason it's going to be a lot easier to bend. And so I feel like they needed to have figured this out before they started making these things.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that like that's the dumbest, worst response they could have released. Like, I it is beyond me why the official Apple take isn't like, hey, you know, we make like very cutting edge products with like very cutting edge manufacturing stuff. Like sometimes, you know, things slip through that like don't meet our quality standards. Like if you have an iPad that, you know, is affected with any issues, just like bring it and we'll swap it out. No questions asked, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, like that would have made everyone happy. It would have been like, oh, okay, well, you know, if a small number of units are affected, like no big deal.
Yeah.
Versus like doubling down on like, you know, just a side effect of making these things and go fuck yourself.
Thing still works, doesn't it?
Yeah. And so the other crazy thing about this is like, this is kind of like turned the YouTubers on to like, all right, well, if they're coming bent, like how hard are they to bend? And like, it's like shocking how little effort it actually takes to bend one of these.
I'm not surprised. I mean, they seem fragile, but man, it's just, I don't know. They need to make these things stronger and more rigid, I think. Oh God.
Yeah. So yeah. Is it also in the Macromedia Studios video, and it's like, dude, just like basically just folds it in half. Like it's not like, so the Bendgate stuff.
It shouldn't be that easy.
The Bendgate stuff to me, like the original iPhone Plus Bendgate stuff, I was like, this is kind of far-fetched because like you'd see people in YouTube videos doing it and they were like straining to bend the phone.
Or even dumber shit like how, let's put this under an industrial press and see if it breaks. Oh, it did. Like, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Whereas this is like a dude just like picking two hands, just folding it in half.
That's wild how easy that was to bend. That's sad.
which I don't know, like maybe I'm just an idiot, but like If you were like, hey, here's an iPad that's, you know, as thin as a pencil, or here's an iPad that's like, you know, 1.5 times as thick as that, that's batteries last twice as long and is way stronger. Like, which do you want? Yeah. I would never be like, oh, give me the one that's slightly thinner.
Well, you look at the guy that's bending this with just his fingertips, basically, and like you throw your iPad in a backpack and something weird leans against it and that's that, you're bent. I mean, it doesn't take much at all, and that's just seems wrong.
Yeah. So if you want to see the video specifically we're talking about, his YouTube channel is Zach's Jerry Rig. So look that up.
Oh, Zach.
Or the iPad, the video title is iPad Pro Bend Test.
That's really stupid, and I sort of wonder where this is going to go next, because there was, like, lawsuits and stuff over the first Bend gate.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably in the cards, too.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's just, I couldn't, I was baffled when I saw how simple it was to just fold the thing in half.
Yeah, and Apple's response is just mind-blowing. Yeah.
So, I don't know. But anyway, let's hop into some of the cool games that came out this week, of which there were many. First one on my list, just out of no particular order, is Fly This. Have you played this at all? Filled with this?
No, not yet, but this is the sequel to Conduct This, and I didn't even know this was coming, so I was pretty excited.
So what I think is interesting about this is that mm-hmm. it's basically a take on Flight Control.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell should we name this? Eli Airline. Let me get back out to the gameplay so I can describe more accurately what's happening. So it's like that. It's a hex grid based thing, but the hex grids are really just kind of like the graphics, right?
Yeah.
So on the level I'm on right now, there's three airports. One's yellow, one's purple, and one's red. The plane in this particular game is starting at the yellow airport and loaded up with red passengers. So you just draw a line to the red airport, plane takes off, and lands at the red airport, at which point it will be filled up with, let's see, probably purple or yellow passengers. It's like purple passengers, and then we draw a line over to the purple airport.
Right.
And that's kind of, you know, a lot like Flight Control, basically.
Yeah.
Except, you know, there's a takeoff mechanic instead of just like the landing. I guess it's more closer to like Harbor Master in a way, in that you're like dealing with taking off and landing.
Yeah.
And, you know, they throw some other kind of wrenches into the mix, and that there's planes that come in that you need to avoid. This map has like different wind gusts that you need to deal with, where, like, you know, if you fly into the wind, your plane goes a little slower. If you fly with the wind, it goes faster. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to see the response that this game gets, because, like, for me, I'm like, all right, this is Flight Control released in late 2018 with a few minor twists. Whereas it seems possible that Flight Control has been old enough and it has been off the App Store long enough that I think it is totally reasonable for someone to download this game and be like, wow, it's like line drawing to land a plane. That's very innovative and cool.
Right. Yeah.
Why didn't someone think of that before?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I want to say that this launched simultaneously on like Switch and PC and all that good stuff too. So
How would you
interesting to see?
Do you know if it controls with touch on Switch? I feel like it would have to.
Let's see if we can find out.
So I don't know. It's a cool game. I like the color matching mechanic is pretty cool. And like right now I have two planes that both have yellow passengers, so I'm kind of like making the one take a longer path.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it doesn't. So the other plane bugs out by the time the other plane, the plane with the yellow passengers gets to it. And, you know, all the same tricks from Flight Control work in this. Like, if you need a plane to take a little longer, you just kind of like do a couple swirlies so it, you know, does some maneuvers in the air. And I don't know.
Well, maybe I think I lied and this is just on mobile for now. But I think Conduct This just came to Switch. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. So cool game. It's free, I'm pretty sure.
I think it's paid, yo.
Oh, is it?
I got the website open right now.
I assume everything is free these days.
It's kind of like a surprise when things are not.
Yeah, no, for real. So pretty cool.
You're right. It is free.
It's the chaos management genre is what people.
$5 to remove ads.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, chaos management is what this was coined as back in the day. And you know, the gameplay still holds up.
I agree we're ready for some more Flight Control, because I miss that game.
Yeah. A while ago I did some research on like what is going on with that game, and it's just like laying in some closet at EA that's completely forgotten. And you know, I'm sure it's one of those situations where if you ever were like, oh, I'd like to, you know, buy Flight Control off EA and like remake it, because that would be neat, they would probably be like, oh, that thing we haven't touched in 10 years, that's super valuable now that you mention it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Cool game. We're checking out. Again, it's called Fly This. Which of these should we talk about next? I guess let's go for this Miyamoto game. Do you diddle around with this at all?
No, not yet.
So this game I almost like didn't download because like I saw the title is like Miyamoto and I was like, what is this thing going to be like? Is this like some weird like you know, it just seemed like knockoffy to me because like, you know, when you think Miyamoto, you think Miyamoto, you know, not like you know, some samurai game, but this is actually shockingly well done. To the point that I am not even sure what to think about it. So it's like a tile-based sort of Advance Wars strategic battler with like a card mechanic. So right now I am on a 4x4 grid in this game. There's a bunch of enemies that have spawned. I've got a Ronin Samurai unit on the board that I can move and then attack a dude to kill him. But like what's interesting is that these guys all have like different like status effects and all other stuff. Like, so I just killed this monster guy who turned my dude to stone, which I didn't realize was a thing that could happen. So you deploy guys based on their cards that you're dealt, and you just drag them out to the game board, and then you have to I think you have to wait a turn for them to be usable, and then you know, you pass turn, your opponent does their thing, and you hope your dudes don't die, and they can deploy units as well. And I don't know, just you know, really cool cel shaded art style.
Entirely single player,
I believe so.
It seems really cool. It seems like a almost like a solitaire game.
Yeah, I was really surprised by everything to do with this game, basically. Oh, my dudes weren't turning to stone. They're only usable once per turn. That's what was happening.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, awesome, really awesome game. Like surprisingly so. And I'm looking forward to playing way more of this. So
I felt bad because somebody posted this on our forums, and I looked it up, and the guy had emailed us, and it went to our spam. So I didn't even realize this game was out.
Yeah, our spam filter has been kind of on the fritz lately. I didn't realize the Battle for Polytopia thing was even happening.
Yeah.
And that got spammed as well. So I'm glad the Failgunner caught that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Miyamoto, pretty cool. I think this is $3. Maybe. Not sure. Off the top of my head.
Let me be your fact checker for this episode.
Yes, please fact check this.
There's a lot of things called Miyamoto on the App Store.
Yeah, it looks like there's like a bunch of like permanent or unit upgrades you can get or like add to your deck or I don't know, like I'm so taken aback by how in depth this game is. Like I really was not expecting this when I first downloaded this at all.
Yeah, it is $2.99.
So definitely check it out. Like at least like look at the screenshots and stuff. Art's really cool. The way that the UI works with like the swiping of like to open the box top, like that's the whole thing. Is like the game's kind of like laid out like you're playing with like board game pieces. So the way that you start is like you don't hit start to play. Like you swipe to like open the box of all pieces.
Yeah.
To like get them out on the game board and stuff.
I'm very much more interested to try this now that I've seen it.
Yeah.
This looks cool.
I think that as far as this week's award for game that has a very cool idea that is not executed as well as I wish it was goes to Ninja Streak.
Okay.
Like, so I don't know. I think this is a really cool, like very, very, very cool mechanic that I just think needs more time in the oven.
Okay.
So the Ninja Streak is a matching game, a match three, like a line drawing based match three. So you can match diagonally and stuff like that. It has different tiles that make your character do different things. So if you imagine the game screen, like the top quarter or so is a little ninja dude that's like effectively going down like a side scroller path.
Kind of 10 million-y or whatever.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. And then, like, the center half of the screen is the matching game board, and then the bottom half is, like, power-up stuff. So you need to make matches that coincide with what your little ninja guy needs to do in order to progress in the level. Okay. So, for instance, like, I have an enemy guy in front of me, so I need to match ninja stars to throw my ninja star at the enemy guy to clear him so I can continue progressing.
Okay.
And then, so there's also, like, there's blocks to just only move forward. Mm-hmm. There's blocks to jump. There's water blocks that you use to, like, spray out a fire. And then there's, like, dirt blocks that do nothing other than move you forward. I know, I'm not super sure what the star blocks do, but they're also in there. My complaint with this game is that it feels like at times you do not have the tiles that you need for the action that you need to take.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's really not much that you can do to avoid that.
That was going to be my question, because it kind of seems like if they're asking you to make these very specific matches, what happens when the random board goes against you?
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing, is like, so right now, for instance, my little ninja guy is at a pit that I need to jump over, which
you don't have any jumpies.
I don't have any jumpies. I can, the only good match, like, I have a match where I can throw water, a match to throw ninja stars.
Do you have one where you can move forward just once and maybe get some jumpies?
I can jumble.
Oh, you reshuffled the board.
Jumble the board. All right, yeah, so now I got a jumpy.
Why did it let you do that?
I am not super sure where, like, what activates these power-ups down here. Like, that's kind of, like, the other thing that, like, doesn't make sense. Is, like, I guess if you can't do the thing that you need to do, you are able to shuffle the board, maybe?
Interesting, yeah.
I don't know, like, it's none of this is explained very well. Well, now, so I can't shuffle the board right now, and I need to jump, and I don't have.
Why don't you make those purple connections and see what happens?
Let me match these purple things.
And you still can't jump.
Yeah, still can't jump.
So yeah, what do you do?
So my dude falls in the pit.
Fall into a pit.
And he loses a heart. But I don't know. Like, so, I think the idea of the core concept of making matches to perform actions in a platformer is really cool. Like, I don't know why no one's thought of that before, because, like, when I downloaded this, I was like, I don't know, this looks a little junky, but, like, so did 10 million and so did Dungeon Raid and stuff like that. So I'm always willing to give a junky looking puzzler the battle or the benefit of the doubt. But this one, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe this does seem really interesting. I see what you mean by it's a really cool concept that maybe isn't executed as well, or maybe it just isn't explained well enough.
I mean, that could be it too. But I mean, like, here, so I'm at a fire right now, and I don't have a match for a jump or water. Like, all I can do is,
you just gotta bite the bullet and burn yourself, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, there I, you I go. Guess. I just burnt my dude, and so now I only have one heart left. So, I don't know. I would like to see this fleshed out a little more in a way that makes a little bit more sense, maybe. Hmm. And then maybe it would be something that would be a very neat game to play.
I think it's really interesting.
But yeah, cool. Cool gameplay concept, I guess. It's just, I don't know if it's kind of executed as well as it could be.
Hmm.
So,
I don't know. Score was 69.
That's 69, cool. Yeah. So, and the tutorial is super brief. So you just, like, step for every match, use jumpies to jump over dudes. You can jump over fires. You can jump over holes. throw ninja stars at aliens, water puts out fire, you can jump on the aliens too. If you match more, you throw your stuff farther. And then that's kind of the gist of the game.
And this actually seems pretty cool. I didn't even have this downloaded, but I'm going to grab it now.
Yeah. So it's pretty neat. I don't know. I think it needs something. I just don't know what that something is.
Yeah.
Because it feels like you shouldn't be put in failure states so often based on like, well, shit, I just, you know, don't have anything to put out this fire. Like, I can't jump and I don't have water and like I'm just stuck now.
Interesting.
With that, I guess we're running a little bit long, so let me just do an honorable mention of Tropico so we can say we talked about it on the podcast. Tropico is like, so Civ 6 was the big release last holiday season. Tropico is the big release this holiday season. Another bona fide real game that I think everyone should, if you're interested in these kind of like city building slash management style games, Tropico is a game that you should at least watch a gameplay video of, or, you know, one of their various trailers, or there are a couple different developer walkthroughs where they go over everything you do. Basically, you take over management of kind of like a tropical island that has, you know, you basically become like the dictator. Like, you're, it's kind of like a tongue-in-cheek thing where it's like Cuba with Fidel Castro almost, but not really. I guess like almost more like South American drug lord kind of thing, not necessarily like Cuba, but the granularity of all the management stuff is sort of bananas when it comes to like, you know, building roads and where you put your buildings and how you do your different, like, just everything. So if you are the kind of person that, you know, has got a new iPad or whatever else, and you're kind of like annoyed that there aren't, you know, more games on the apps where you can like really, really, really sink your teeth into, Tropico is the game for you.
Yeah.
I think it's $11 or $12 or something, which is super cheap compared to the PC versions and everything else. So highly recommended you check it out. This is
based on Tropico 3, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think they like cherry picked like stuff from the Tropico games and then kind of like reworked them, plus like touch controls and stuff like that. I don't know.
I'm real interested to see this come to the iPhone next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so that's the other thing too. Like, if you, it's going to get universal update treatment, so definitely give it a look. I'm surprised how cheap it is, honestly. Like, I feel like this is a game they could have been like, $30, deal with it.
Yeah, and people would have bought it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Give Tropico a look. And with that, I think we're going to drive this podcast home. I hope everyone has a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever it is you're celebrating, if you're celebrating anything at all this year. And with that, we'll catch you next week, where we'll have a bunch of our best game of the year stuff trickle out throughout the week during the iTunes freeze. I think we're going to do exactly what we talked about a couple of podcasts ago and have been talking about since, with kind of the more permanent game page, best game page stuff, along with like the big thing. So that's what we'll be busting ass on.
I think we'll have plenty to talk about next week.
Plenty to talk about for sure. So with that, if you like this podcast, really appreciate it if you check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TouchArcade, or do your Amazon shopping at toucharcade.com/Amazon. If you want to hang out with us on Discord, we've got a really cool Discord at discord.gg/TouchArcade. If you want to send us an email, email address for that is podcast@toucharcade.com. And with that, I guess we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.